Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the welcomed change in the weather recently tells us that fall is here, thankfully. Though we are, besides the weather, we are also able to observe many other things in life and nature that doubly inform us that change is in the air. Football season is in full swing. The shrimp are in the creeks. The grass is finally slowed down and it's growing. And in other places around the country, not really here, but other places around the country, leaves are changing and falling to the ground as well. So change is indeed in the air. This time of year also marks the beginning of changing seasons for the church. Now, not necessarily on the church calendar. We don't start a new season of the church until Advent. But time certainly right now gives us the awareness of newness and a little bit of change. Now, we have been in a fairly constant stage of change here in the life of St. John's Parish Church these last 16 months or so. But I think we can all faithfully say that it is clear that the Holy Spirit is indeed guiding, uniting, sending, and building within us a new level of faithfulness and dedication to the Lord. And for that, we are thankful. Amen. So the next couple of weeks, this is the sort of unofficial season on the church calendar of stewardship. Stewardship, quite simply, is the giving of and from ourselves back to God what already belongs to Him. This includes that famous alliterative time, talent, and treasure. However, I think pointedly, we do well to remember that any stewardship must be truly giving. Giving out of the abundance of what we have, not because we earn God's favor in our giving in any way, but because God's sacrificial love draws giving from us in obedience and extreme thankfulness for all that He has done. Well, certainly, here at St. John's Parish Church, we could spend days and weeks reflecting on God's goodness toward us these last 16 months. There have been so many blessings poured out and many things to point us forward in hopeful expectation. So the prayer today and for the next couple of weeks, the next few weeks, for each of us as individuals, is to consider how it is that the Lord is calling each one of us as individuals and as a congregation to participate in the great mission and ministry that He has called us to, and how it is that each one of us can answer the call to be cheerfully generous givers for the building up of God's kingdom here on John's Island and beyond. If you haven't already received, you will receive very soon a letter in the mail from our senior warden, and also an ask of you to pledge for the general operating budget for 2024. That should be, if you haven't already received that, you will in the next few days. So be on the lookout for that. This is that unofficial stewardship season. Well, St. Augustine, my favorite of the church fathers, famously wrote many, many centuries ago in reference to generous stewardship and giving. He wrote, "Find out how much God has given you, and from it take what you need. The rest is needed by others." The rest is needed by others. This concept, the concept of this goes really beyond even the idea of giving a tithe. A tithe being that Old Testament biblical precedent of giving 10% of harvest and proceeds from the year to God via the church to show thanks and obedience to Him. So this goes even beyond that. Our Old Testament reading this morning, I think, helps in this season of stewardship. We heard from the prophet Malachi. The Lord speaks with a great urgency through the prophet this morning. The context of the book of Malachi is that it is about 100 years after the people of Israel had been delivered back into Jerusalem, back to the temple where they worshipped, from exile in Babylon, from captivity in Babylon. And in this 100-year time period, things have already spiraled out of control once again. Out of control. The people have gone into just great levels of idolatry and sinfulness and disobedience to God. So much of life was really guided by selfish desire and selfish ambition rather than self-giving and commitment of life together. There's so much selfish ambition going on. But the Lord speaks. The Lord still speaks through this, through the disobedience of his people. And the prophecy begins with the Lord speaking in Malachi chapter 1 by saying, "I love you. And I have always loved you." Those are the first words that God speaks to the people through Malachi. I love you. I have always loved you. To his chosen people. And now, the part that we read about in chapter 3, it's a reminder of that, of God's unending love for his people. Because he says, "I, the Lord, do not change. I love you now, I have always loved you, and I do not change." God's love for God's people is the unchanging hope in the middle of a constantly changing world. In his love for his people, he desires us always to return to him. To return to him. And the illustration for sin is actively walking away from God. Think of it like this, that is actively walking away from this cross right here in the opposite direction. That is the illustration of sin and moving away from God, disobedience. Well, if that's the illustration for sin and disobedience, the return to God is exactly the opposite. It's a 180-degree turn back to the cross. Walking back to the cross to return to Jesus and to have the cross as that focal point for us for forgiveness and restoration of the broken relationship that we have with God. So the people of Israel ask God. So the whole book of Malachi, by the way, is this back and forth between God and his people. The people saying, bringing up objections to why they can't do or haven't been doing what God wants them to do. So when Malachi speaks the word of the Lord to them by saying, "Return to the Lord," they say, "Well, how are we supposed to do that? How do we return to the Lord?" So how do we return to the Lord? It's really difficult to return to the Lord, especially in the times that we don't realize when we're walking away from the cross. That's when it's really difficult. But the Lord tells us through this prophecy in Malachi, he says that we can do that in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings, by bringing those tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, he says. Gifts, tithes, offerings. When we bring those things into the storehouse of the Lord, it is a measurable element of how we return to him. Because we can't bring him things if we're not walking toward him. We also return to the Lord in bearing our repentance and asking for his forgiveness and acknowledging that he is the one who is in control, not any one of us, but the Lord is the one who is in control. So stewardship, friends, is the gathering up of those gifts, tithes, offerings to put into the storehouses and bring them together that we may participate in this way in the building up of God's kingdom. As you well know, St. John's Parish Church is very active in mission and ministry throughout the year and throughout both here locally and internationally. We do a lot at St. John's Parish Church. In fact, I remember Bishop Emeritus having commended St. Mark Lawrence having commended St. John's Parish Church over the years for our generosity and missional awareness that really exceeds the amount of our congregation, the amount of people in our congregation, our giving and our faithfulness in the Lord in that capacity and in participating in mission and ministry. Bishop Lawrence has commended us for that, and others have as well. I've heard it with my own ears. Your faithfulness, your faithful generosity in stewardship goes toward funding all of those things that we do. All of the projects, all of the missions, all of the ministries, all of the fellowship gatherings, and so much more. That's what every bit of the stewardship, the gathering into the storehouses, goes for these things. From Sunday morning worship to the Daughters of the Holy Cross, to the Hot Gap Angels, to Operation Christmas Child, to the Feeding of the Multitude, to foreign missions in northern Uganda and in Peru, to hospitality events, to service projects, to prayer groups and prayer shawls and youth group and music and simply putting together facilities and utilities. All of these things are how we participate together in the building up of God's kingdom through stewardship. We also heard this morning from Paul, Timothy, and Silas as they wrote together to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians. And they write this letter with a great deal of joy because of the faithfulness in which the people of that city believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the good news that God came into the world to save the world from sin, death, and destruction through Jesus' sacrificial atoning death on the cross and his triumphant resurrection from the grave, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they did so in the face of extreme persecution and distraction and martyrdom. These Thessalonians flourished in their faith. They immediately had that great gift of faith in believing what was presented to them as absolutely true. And they flourished in their faith, and they were able to spread the gospel despite incredibly awful circumstances. The empire wanted to snuff out their flame, but rather, the martyrdom of the Christians was the joyful, triumphant fanning of the flame that grew the church in faithfulness and obedience and endurance. And this was a great, this happened not for themselves. This wasn't for the Thessalonians themselves. This was for others to see. This was a great watermark for others to be able to see. People from other cities and regions and even countries saw the joyful faithfulness of the Thessalonians as a testimony to God for the greater good. That salvation through Jesus Christ alone is the bulwark of God's grace toward his people. Now, when Bishop Lawrence was here with us last December in the season of Advent last year, he actually reminded us of this. I don't know if you remember that or not. He reminded us of this fact, and he related our faithfulness to that of the Thessalonians and what we have gone through these last months, that others have indeed seen what we have done, how we have responded to the gospel, and others are able to use that as a great encouragement. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about, we're going to be planning for and praying into what the Lord has in store for St. John's Parish Church in 2024 and beyond. And this definitely includes plans for church place and buildings and grounds going forward. But right now, as of this moment, our focus is on the general operating budget for 2024, for next year, so that we can continue to participate in the kingdom building work that the Lord is doing through us and in us, in all of the missions, ministries, and generations, so that we will always and everywhere glorify his holy name. So again, this week and next week will be a look into the goodness of God that brings joy, faithfulness, hope, endurance, and generations together in worship, ministry, mission, dedicated to the one true God in repentant unity through Jesus Christ, all in great thanksgiving for what he has done. Amen.
In spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every thought. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Oh, Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said, what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, and defeated my sin, opened up the gates of hell, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? So faithful a friend, to so loving a king. Savior, what can be said, what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of by this thankful heart. What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? What can I give? What can I bring? What can I sing as an offering, Lord? I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship.